At the conclusion of this week's town hall meeting at Albany's Ezra Prentice Homes, I spoke with Aaron Mayer, the national president of the 2.4 million member Strong Sierra Club. Residents of the South End public housing complex heard from top environmental officials Wednesday evening, sharing their growing concerns about diesel truck traffic and the presence of nearby Global Partners, which transports Bakken crude oil by railroad tracks that buffer the apartments. Mayer sees the residents' struggle with air and noise pollution at the expense of quality of life as a glaring example of what some call environmental racism.
As they're trying to facilitate getting oil from the Bakken fields to the market, they have to come through the port, and as an immediate consequence, residents who literally are on the fence line, there's a fence that separates them and the railroad tracks, a distance of approximately 30 to 40 feet, you will find these residents are waking up all hours of the evening with the coupling and decoupling of the trains, but more importantly, the venting, or what they call burping, when it comes to opening the tops or the hatches, they have no air conditioning. So when they open their windows, benzene, you know, raw benzene fumes are blowing into their homes. The symptomatology of asthma and elevated respiratory illness is a major indicator that people are being impacted by this benzene. But unfortunately, when they did the analysis that allowed Global to expand here, Global in its permit and application said that there was no environmental justice impacts, no environmental justice effects. In fact, they didn't even acknowledge that there was an environmental justice community here. So when we talk about environmental racism, the fact that the application went forward without state, local, or other officials flagging that, wait a minute, we know that this is one of the largest, poorest sections of the city, and it's predominantly African American, and they are already saturated with a lot of industrial facilities and tractor trailer facilities all around. How can there not be an environmental justice impact? But somehow this application got through.
You sat through the whole meeting today.
Yeah.
Now it's over. How do you feel? Have we made any progress? Are we going forward? Is this going to be a better resolution than we would have expected?
Well, two things. We're here because the community organized. The poorest of the poor communities had organized and came together. And as you heard, this process has been going on from permitting to where they are right now with new permits, increased permits, since 2011. Contrast the response of government to this community vis-a-vis the PFOA issue over in Rensselaer County, how quick they were able to respond within the documentation of contamination of PFOA in groundwater. This has been dragging on for years. And so even though we are seeing a response, it is by no means a complete or a full response. Right now, you're having officials talking about what the agencies can and do and what their limitations are. What's not being talked about is that, you know, these laws are set up this way so that agencies really cannot be responsive. And here's the other piece. At the point in which this community is trying to find out, look, what do I do relative to my air quality and relative to my apartment, relative to this train? And they're saying, well, listen, we're not the ones responsible. We got to go to the transportation authority, and then we will have to make a special appeal through them. How is that type of response or action going to be for the next child that has an asthma attack, or the next adult that has some respiratory illness, or some, as they say, some physical response to some fugitive emission? Unfortunately, the issue of the complexity of who's in charge, which is really what's delineated here, vis-a-vis actionable responses to the immediate crisis that people are living with here daily, was totally missed. And so there's a huge disconnect between what happens between now and the next incident or episode relative to somebody becoming ill as a result of, as they say, a fugitive release or a potential spill. Contacting and trying to assess whether it's a transportation authority, EPA, DOT, or DEC, that kind of chain of command is not the instantaneous response people want. And they want the same response as Hoosick Falls, where people came in, they had a complaint, their blood was tested, they did a workup. A lot of people were naturally talking about that the air caused cancer. And again, these are folks who don't really know that the risk of cancer is everybody carries it. The issue is, what are the environmental triggers? And so what's not said is that there's no volunteering of the fact that there needs to be much more complicated epidemiological model testing for these residents here. There is a toxic cocktail of emissions coming out of the Port of Albany. And maybe no one piece is, as I say, a contributor to a cancer risk, but the combination of them may be a significant contributor. And we don't know how people's risk, because everybody carries their burden of risk, and a child may not present it now, but the child may present a cancer outbreak due to its exposure right now. So what needs to be done is the health monitoring of this community. What needs to be done is a much more sophisticated analysis of the cumulative effects and the cumulative impact of layering in different classes of toxins and emissions here at the Port of Albany. The fact that people are saying that they come in and moving into this area, they have upper respiratory illness, and when they move out, they don't have it, is a clear indicator that much more sophisticated monitoring needs to be done. And granted, you know, the soil may not be the case or the place where you want to test, but you need to be honest with the people and say, well, look, we need to have a real 360 response team down here of agencies to start really looking at what this community is facing.